Well, this morning we're going to, I'm going to talk something a little bit different. I hadn't planned on this. There has been some things, especially starting off into this year. Over the last couple of years, God's just been dealing with me more and more about certain things and talking to me about certain things. And there's, over the years, I've had a numbers of different experiences with God in different ways. Sometimes I've had visions, or sometimes dreams and different things have happened. There's numbers of supernatural things that over the years have taken place. Now, the Bible says that old men dream dreams, so I don't know if God's just thinking I'm old or what, but I've been doing, much more unusual than I have at any period of time in my life. I've had at times where I've had dreams that were things that were revealed to me through a dream, and I've had those happen. But here of late, there's things been going on in the nighttime that just have been really just extraordinary different, because you usually just don't have it happen so often. I go years between times that, you know, that I have a dream about something, and I might go for years and don't really, God hasn't dealt with me much. He's dealt with me some in dreams, but here lately, especially starting into this year, I go to bed minding my own business and, you know, things start happening, and I don't plan on it, or I don't think about it. And especially, I usually don't get messages and things, but here I've had, different things that God has shown me that He wants me to minister and teach. And I got it from dreams, seeing myself ministering into dreams, knowing that God wants me to do something there. Well, this is one that happened maybe about 2 or 3 months ago. And I didn't know when the Lord wanted me to do it, so I didn't do it. I just sort of left the thing alone till then. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I can be sometimes a little dull and catching on, but what was taking place is I was going to bed at night, and it just would seem like I would go through a period of sleep for a while, but then I would get over, and it was like I was sort of an in-between sleep and awake thing. I don't know what you call it. I don't know what it is. But I would know that I'm not in a deep sleep. I don't know how I would know that, but I would just know it. there'd just be things going on inside of me, and I had scriptures were starting to talk to me and dealing with me in the areas of finances, and started to talk to me, and these scriptures would just go over me and over and over. And I'd see things, and different scriptures would come up, and they'd just go over and over. And then I'd wake up, and I'd think, it was just like, I would know exactly what happened, what went on, and went through them. And so I went for a couple nights like that. And I don't know about you, maybe you catch on faster than me, but this happened to me, and I never asked the Lord about it. This thing was going on, and I was saying, boy, I'd sure like to go to sleep, because sometimes I'd wake up and felt like I hadn't really slept. This was going on. And I'd think, my words, was I up all night or what happened? I don't know. But anyhow, I was like, man, I was working in my sleep. I got the one morning, and I finally, I was standing in the bathroom in front of the mirror, and I looked, and all of a sudden, I was just standing there. I thought, God's trying to get something across to me here. But you need to understand this about God, and you need to learn this. If you don't ask, He won't say nothing. Many times God is trying to show people things, and people say, well, if God wants me to have it, or God wants it, it'll happen. No, it won't. Now, this has been going on for a few nights. This thing was going on. God said nothing to me about it till in front of the mirror, and I've known this. I thought, why haven't I asked Him? What's wrong with me? This has been going on. Why haven't I said something? So I just, there, right there, standing in the bathroom in front of the mirror, said, Lord, what is this you're trying to get a hold of me about with this thing? And instantly, He started showing me scriptures and talking to me, telling me what, just going down through and told me some things. And I saw things from a scriptural standpoint that I saw a little differently than I've seen it before, in the areas of giving and dealing in that area. Is flowing into those things. This is one thing I want you to know, is really, we're in a time and a move of God, and you need to hook into it what God is doing. You need to hook in. You need to understand this. With any move of God emphasizes certain things. There's certain things that will be emphasized. And here's where people miss it. What people do is try to just do what they were doing before. They don't begin to flow into what God is doing. There's a wave of God. I don't know if you're in the ocean and you've ever surfed or body surfed or anything like that. If you want to catch a wave to shore, you got to be in the right position, or that wave comes down on you and you will wish you had never tried to go to shore. that thing will drag you up on the beach. You'll be sorry it happened. But in some ways, people it happened spiritually. There were moves of God. Like if I would take like the healing revivals of the 1950s went on. When the healing revivals started in the 1950s, a lot of the church world just kept doing what they always did. And they missed it. They missed the big move of God. They missed it totally. It don't just happen. You got to get into the flow. God was emphasizing healing, and they're emphasizing just the same old stuff they always emphasize. It wasn't that the stuff that they were emphasizing wasn't right, but it wasn't right for the time, for what God was doing at the time. There were certain things He wanted to bring to the forefront. He wanted to bring healing and baptism of the Holy Ghost. He wanted to bring those things to the forefront. People didn't like that. They didn't like it. You know, during the charismatic renewal, a lot of the Spirit-filled churches, they didn't like the idea that God was coming along and filling Catholics full of the Holy Ghost and Presbyterians. They didn't like it. And you know what? Many of their churches died out pretty good over the stuff. Because, you know, well, if God was going to move, He would do it in our church. Well, He couldn't have moved in their church for nothing. Because they wouldn't flow. They wouldn't get into the flow of the thing. He had something He wanted to do, but they had their flow. One of the things, you know, you can get over where flows are overemphasized and aren't done right. Where people, we need to understand that. One of the things, though, that God wants to deal with is in the areas of healing. Healing is a thing. You're not going to have a revival without the emphasis on the areas of healing. Healing is going to come. Healing is always going to come up in the forefront. That was Jesus. If its prominence was in His ministry, if we look at Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. In other words, healing's going to come to a forefront. These last days, healing's going to come to a forefront. As Brother Hagin prophesied before he left, he said that healing, the healing move of God, this revival that will come will be the greatest move of the healing power of God that the world has ever seen. He said it's going to be greater than any that's ever taken place before. He said it'll be greater than the book of Acts concerning the healing power of God. It's one thing He wants to do. Also, in the areas, we want to deal with the areas of prosperity because that's one of the things God will move. Is understand this. As God moves, you know, you're going to need money to do the things God wants you to do. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. You know, as me, if I want to give a lot, then I have to have a lot. Anybody that believes that, you know, that, well, God wants somebody poor, then He don't want him to give. That's the dumbest thing in the world. I never heard anything so stupid in my life. And then the other side is how He puts all this stuff in the book about you ought to be given. Dear Lord. And, you know, the church has messed people up. And many times more than helped them. Now, but you can go on the extremes. There was people that got so money-minded in the 90s. People started getting so money-minded. They were more money-minded than God-minded, some of these preachers. I mean, we even got today. They're more money-minded than God-minded. You don't want to go there. There's a ditch on either side of the road any time. You want to come back to the center of the road. But you know, God has no problem with people having a lot of money. The only problem that God has is money having people. And that comes down with dealing yourself and developing. And what happens, you know, there's people get out here and they get some money and they mess up. And so people say, well, that having money ain't good. Well, I've seen people accept Jesus and mess up their lives. Does that mean Jesus ain't no good? Come on. We gotta get out of here. What happens is the church does this. People get over and get into excess of things, and so the church throws the baby out with the bathwater. That's what the church has always done. In it, the church has hurt itself. We take what's true and what's good and what's right and what's holy, and because somebody carries it to extreme, then we go lay it down and we don't, oh, stay at them. No, you know, we don't want to get over there. You know, like tongues. People, you know, got into excess. There's people got into crazy things. We had this so-called intercession stuff that was going on, and they called them warring tongues and all. People got in and messed more things up. They got into things that were unbiblical. You know, you don't see warring tongues in the Bible. It says, when I'm praying in tongues, it says, I speak not unto men, but unto God. Amen. Don't say I'm talking to the devil. It said, I'm talking to God. Dear God. So see, because people got over into excess, so they kicked the Spirit-filled people kicked it out of the church. And you know what? We've suffered terribly because of it. We've suffered because of these things in the church. God wants to bring some things back to the center of the road. And He started to deal with me in the areas about giving. He kept showing me from things about the Old Testament, and then he kept showing me things in about the New Testament. He showed me things, then he'd take me back and show me again. This is what was happening in these sort of, I don't know if it was a dream or what it was, but he would take me back and he would show me these scriptures and he would show me these, then he'd take me to the New Testament. And then when he began to speak to me, one of the scriptures that was coming to me was the areas of Malachi, dealing with the areas of the tithe. And I want to go over there, look at Malachi, the third chapter. I really don't have any notes today. I just have some scriptures that he gave me. And every time I sit down, I just meditating on these scriptures and reading them. And I just had a sense of, well, don't get your own thoughts in this thing. Just let the anointing bring out what he wants to do. And I want to talk to you. If we go into Malachi, we need to understand the prophet Malachi was dealing with a people who had gotten away from God. Malachi was, he's talking to Israel. Israel was following other gods. They got away. They're doing their thing. And so God is bringing them back. God is calling them back. And that's what this is about. Understand, they got away from God. The temple's closed. They're not worshiping God up in the temple anymore. They're not worshiping. In other words, the ministry that God had for Israel at the time. Understand, the temple was the place that every day the ministry of God took place. The priests offered the sacrifices for Israel every day, for Israel's protection. It was for their sin. It was going on all the time. God's having them do this. When Israel quit tithing, the priests had to go back to work. And they had to leave. They had to make a living. They left the temple. And no longer is ministry isn't going on. And the people are suffering. I want you to understand that. If you don't learn to flow in the areas of finances, working with God, you will suffer and other people will suffer too. They always suffered. Israel, everybody suffered. Every time ministry stopped, people suffer. That's why our nation's in the mess it is today, because true ministry stopped. We got enormous churches that are dead. They're doing all kinds of stuff, but all they're doing is playing to people. The ministry to God stopped. You know, it isn't just about ministering to people. It's ministering to God. God's been left out. I mean, we don't even need him anymore. I mean, we got such good organizations today. We got so much good stuff. I mean, it's just like one minister said. He said, I can get more people in without the Holy Ghost and these tongues and all this stuff. I can get more people in without it than with it. Well, what about God? So now, you know, he's got a church full of people, but he ain't got no God. And people today, a lot of people love those churches. They like those churches. You can go to, live like hell, sit there and feel good. You can sit there, live in sin. Don't matter at all. I feel good. You'll never hear a sermon. God will never speak in that church through the minister to tell anybody about anything sin or make anybody uncomfortable. No, we're all going to feel very comfortable in our sin. And that's what happens. See, they get God out of that. The Holy Spirit does this for the world. He convicts the world of sin. That's what he does. You ain't reaching lost people if there's no conviction of sin. You ain't reaching lost. It's a conviction of sin. My God, that's how I got saved. I got really convicted of my sin. I got really convicted of where I was at in my life. Well, the Holy Ghost didn't do that to condemn me. It was to bring me the realization, man, I'm in trouble. We're living in a world where there's lots of trouble. I don't know if you noticed that or not. But Israel was in a lot of trouble. Now, God told him this, and here's what the point of it was. And this is the areas of money. He said, in Malachi, the third chapter, verse 6, he said, for I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. That's what God said. The only reason you guys ain't been consumed is because I'm good. I haven't changed. I'm still taking care of you people, but you ain't taking care of yourself. That's what he's telling them. You know, I want you to understand that. That's just as true today concerning the United States. The United States would have been from the toilet a long time ago if it wouldn't be for the goodness of God. It has only been kept because God has been good. We got a nation living like hell. Christianity living like hell. Man, God has been good. He said, yet from the days of your fathers, he said, you've gone away from my ordinances, not kept them. He said, return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what ways shall we return? Now, what did he say? If you return to me, I'll return to you. Always understand this. See, the church preaches this. God will just come after you. Is that what it says? Jesus talked about how the prodigal son works. How the prodigal son... Did the father go chase the son down out in the world? No. No, he didn't. If I return to God, I can always count on a response back to Him. But I must return. That's a thing called repentance. That's a dirty word in the church today. Repentance. We don't have to repent of nothing, man. We're just, you know, everything's taken care of. No, it's not. Hallelujah. You got to turn. So he said, now he's... What way? Now, I want you to understand, he says, in what way? Now, isn't this strange? Because, in other words, they aren't following his ordinances. They're not doing the temple's shut down. They're worshiping other gods. He's going to get down to the fact of why this thing happened. Really, the catalyst that started this thing. He said, will a man rob God? He said, yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. And I want you to get a hold of this. Dealing in the areas of the tithe, now people, you know, come along and say the tithe deals with the law. The tithe didn't deal with the law. The tithe existed before the law. We find the tithe with Abraham. We find it with Jacob. Gave God a tenth of all. So, understand, the tithe did not start. God, really, God laid down a principles in the Bible. And in one of the principles we have, you know, today, Jesus, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, He's the Lord of the tithe. Well, if we don't tithe today, then what's He the Lord of the tithe of what? He's the Lord of it. Now, understand this. If He's a Lord of it, if the Bible doesn't change, like something from the Old Testament, the New Testament, it doesn't say it no longer exists. If Jesus is the Lord of the tithe, then you and I could rob God but not tithe. We could rob God. You and I can. See, we need to understand this in its operation. And this is one thing that the Lord's telling me about prosperity. Started to talk to me about this area because He said this to me, which I never really thought about it from the standpoint. He said, tithe isn't about you giving, it's what I've demanded. See, it's a total difference. Because we're going to look over, there is giving that has to do with whatever you purpose, whatever you desire to do. Tithing is not about what you desire to do. Tithe is something that God has demanded. It's something that God looks at and says, this is what I want. And understand this, you know, with Israel, and I always get a kick out of people say, you know, tithing is under the law, you know, we don't have to tithe. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we the church with a better covenant, we're going to do less. Well, I know when those people say that, I know what it is. Their love of money, they're holding on their money in their pocket, talking like they're some kind of holy and they ain't holy at all. They don't want to give. I know this for a fact. I didn't know a thing about tithing. And I got born again, and I got this great desire to want to give something away. To me, that was the strangest thing in the world, because one of the reasons some people say about, well, yeah, they get born again, but they talk like hardly nothing happened. To me, when I got born again, it was the strangest stuff in the world, because I never gave anybody anything. I was a taker. And all of a sudden, I had this desire to give. Now, I didn't know what it was about, but I wanted to give. And I tell the story about how I went to Wanda about giving a tenth of our money. I didn't even understand tithing. And I decided we ought to give a tenth of our money. I was talking about, I spent a lot of time hanging out with God. You pick up things just hanging around with God. You don't even know what it's about. All of a sudden you just get these desires to do things. You know, just want to hang out with God more. You want to change you, hang out with God more. It'll change you. You get in the presence of God and it'll change you, and you don't even know how or what it changed. You didn't even have a scripture for it. I didn't understand the tithe things or know about that. I had this desire in me to want to give. I had that desire. So I don't understand why somebody would fight over the tithe and say, well, I don't think we ought to be doing that. I don't think we should. Well, then I tell them if they need help ever, I don't think I'm supposed to give with you, starve out. Go ahead. I don't think I'm supposed to, because that was in the old covenant. We ain't taking care of you. But see, God said to them that you robbed me. In other words, God demanded a certain thing of them. God said this. In other words, He said, you robbed me. You can't rob somebody of something that don't belong to them. The tithe is not about me deciding to give something. It is no difference. How many of you just tell them at work, say, I'm sorry, don't take any income tax off of my paycheck because I don't give to the IRS. You don't give to the IRS. They take it. Didn't you notice? Now, God don't come out of heaven and take a tithe. But listen what He told these people. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. In other words, they broke the law. They're thieves. They broke the law, and in breaking the law, he said this, God said to them, you're cursed. You need to, this principle doesn't, this isn't about money and tithing. People need to know this. When I know what the Bible says about what to do and I don't do it, I curse myself. I can't know what the Bible says to do and do something else. It curses me. They were living under a curse. Now people say, well, I'm not under a curse. You know, I'm Abraham, you know, and they quote the scripture about Abraham and being redeemed from the, you're redeemed from the curse. You're redeemed from it, but you go live like hell. And let me tell me if a curse don't come on you. Tell me you go live like hell and the blessing just chases you down all the time. Tell me it works. I've lived long enough this earth. I have been redeemed, but I gotta live like redeemed. Paul told the church at Corinth they weren't living like redeemed. He said, many of you are sick. Many, he didn't say some of you got sick. He said, many of you are sick. He said, weak, sick, and died prematurely. Why? Because they wouldn't judge themselves. Why? What do you judge yourself against? The Word of God. That's what we judge ourselves against. You judge yourself, measure yourself against the Word of God. In other words, they weren't doing the Word. And what happened? They were cursed. See, everybody, today's the church world throws all that over on the law. You know, well, that was the law. That we don't have that. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the church world's so healthy today. Just full of health. I mean, oh my God. It's because people don't understand these things. Now, I want to say, I don't want you to get into condemnation. I mean, I want you to get revelation. This is about revelation, not condemnation. Understand this. So God has set up a system in the areas God wants us to respond to Him. Why? Because God, just like here with Israel, God wanted to bless them. God told them, look, I've been taking care of you guys. You should have been consumed and you weren't because I don't change. I'm not in the business of killing you. You guys are dying because the devil's eating your lunch. You're letting him. It ain't me killing you. You killing you. That's what he's telling them. You're killing you. He said, well, you robbed me. You robbed me in two ways, tithes and offerings. Now, in verse 10 says this. He said, bring all the tithe in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that will... there will not be room enough to contain. See, you'll find this if you study the Old Testament. Whenever Israel came back to the worship of God, they would open up the temple again. They would go back and go to worship every time. Every time the nation was financially blessed. Every time they started to prosper. Every time the nation would start prospering. What would they do? They would come back to the prescribed worship and ministry God had told them to do. Not men's ideas of what ministry or worship. When they came back to what the law had told them they were supposed to do in that temple, and they started practicing it again, they started getting blessed. You practice what the Word of God says, and you'll be blessed. You practice the Word, you will be blessed. That's what God wants to turn the church around. He's calling the church to come back and begin to practice what's right again. Leave all this junk out. You know, today, well, you know, this old message, you know. Well, you know, out here, the faith movement ended. Well, if the faith movement ended, then salvation ended, because you get it by faith. Faith movement, whoever heard such a stupid saying in your life? Only an ignoramus would ever made it up. There's no such thing as a faith movement. Faith is how you live, folk. It ain't no wave. Dear God, anytime you get off of it, you're in sin. We're supposed to live a life of faith. Whatever it isn't a faith is sin. If you ain't on that wave yet, then you ain't in God's boat. I'll tell you. You know, it's so messed up. But see, we have all this junk because, see, the world, if they call something one thing today, because everybody gets tired, today you got to change it. You know, it won't be called that tomorrow. You know, a car will be called a chicken. It don't matter. We got to change the name of it because we have to change everything all the time real quick. We can't stand the same thing more than 15 minutes. Well, I'm starting. I just read where God changed not. If you want to know how God works, get rid of all this lingo in the church and all this stupid new sayings they come up with all the time on things. Because you can't find it in the Bible. Look at what the Bible calls things and call it by that. Then you won't be messed up and you won't mess others up either. Because you look at half this stuff that they say and then you can't find it in the Bible. Use Bible terminology. You know, you would never walk into a laboratory where they're in there doing stuff, and they just, every week they change what they call stuff, you know, and nobody knows what it is. No, I'll tell you what, they'll call the stuff what they always call it. Why? So everybody knows what you're doing. Could you imagine? You know that every time you went to your cookbook, the words changed inside of what the stuff was. Well, you wouldn't know what to get after a while. You wouldn't know. But Christianity, you know, we're evolving. Yes, evolving into a demonic bunch of idiots that are leading people away from God rather than to Him. We want to get people to God. So God calls them back and said, hey, look, let's get this thing running again. Whether they liked it or not, it took money and stuff to get it running. He said, the reason this ain't working is there ain't no money. He said, because why? The priests and the Levites need to be taken care of so they can stay and do that work that they were called to do. They got to be there to do it. If they got to go out, they can't be there doing sacrifices and they don't have the money. He said, you robbed me. In other words, worship stopped before God because they just got over to keep our money in our pocket. But it ended up costing them more than what. They didn't save a nickel out of it. They lost on the deal. They ended up in a mess. He called them back. Why? What is he calling them back to do? He didn't just say, hey, come back here and start to worship up in this thing. He didn't say. He said, if you bring your tithes in, what happens? You bring your tithes in. The priests and the Levites can come back again and they can start the ministry. The ministry will start again. It's going to start working. Understand this. God cannot bless people who don't support ministry. He can't. He can't bless people that don't support ministry. Folks, you need to understand it. There's a lot involved in this area. There's people, I know, I've heard testimonies and things. People I know, people not dealing in the areas of money, they're sick, they can't get healed. Look, you can't turn around and take an area of your life and you don't follow God, and just because I want to believe it over in this area, it don't matter what I do over here. No, I'm going to tell you what. My disobedience in the Word of God affects all kinds of things. It affects all kinds of things. That's what Israel had. Israel, you know, if you'd have went and talked to them, they'd all said, yeah, they believe in Jehovah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I worship God my way. I go out over here in the weekend. I worship God out in the mountains. I worship, you know, this is how I worship. God wasn't too pleased with that. God had His plan and His purpose of what it was supposed to be. And He does today. He has a group He calls the church. Some people hanging out in the mountains by themselves are worshiping the God their way. That is not God's way. The Bible says you don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. This is why lots of people, you can pray with them all you want, do all you want to try to minister to them. They don't start getting in line with the Word. It ain't going to work. And in these last days, it's going to even get worse for them. If they know and have heard what to do and they ain't doing it, I will tell you what, this is an ugly day because the devil is eating people's lunches. He's eating them faster, and we need to tell people, you can't keep going your direction. You can't keep doing this stuff. You can't keep playing. Seeing the church is nothing but a place you come to when you want something fixed so you can go live like hell again. The church needs to quit doing that too. We got trained them how to do that. Yeah, you just come makes us feel good like we're doing something for somebody. If they are going to come and straighten out, it ain't going to work. You know, I found out I had to straighten out my life. I had to do something. And so we need to tell people, here's what you got to do. Jesus, God's telling them, this is what you got to do. He said, now if you do this, what, you're going to get blessed like crazy out of it. You know, you'll get blessed. I'll tell you what, you do the Word of God, you're going to get blessed. Anybody tells you don't do in the Word of God and they didn't get blessed from it, I'm going to tell you, bring them to me. I will look them square in the face and say, you liar. Because God can't lie, so we're going to have to pin it on you because I ain't joining you. I have, since January 1980, walked with God and I have been blessed. I don't know what they're taught. These people, well, I believe God. He didn't do that for me. Well, you liar. The Bible says if you did it by faith, it'd work. There's times I went and did stuff, and I surely thought I was in faith, but found out I wasn't. But I learned a long time ago. I don't ever say, well, God, it didn't work. It must be your fault. If God's true, Ed Gibson might be a liar, but God is never, never a liar. And He said, if you do this, He said, I'd pour out a blessing on you. Hey, you ain't got enough room for it. Well, there, praise God. Then that's true. See, what I need to do is start saying, praise God, I'm so blessed, I ain't got room for it. Well, I don't look like you ain't seen my bank account. I ain't confessing your bank account. I ain't confessing my bank account. I'm confessing the Bible. You need to quit. See, some people do the same thing with their health. They're always confessing. They're always confessing the doctor's report, what they feel, this and that and the other thing. Confess what the Word says. Hallelujah. Say what God said. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I was healed, so that's it. I don't want to hear another thing on the subject. Hallelujah. I got to tell my body to shut up because it's telling me other things. I'm sorry. I ain't going along with my body. I don't have to speak everything I feel. Thank God I don't. But God's plan. God said He would rebuke the devourer for them in verse 11. I rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now you need to understand there's a difference in the new covenant. God doesn't rebuke the devourer for us. He never will. We have the authority to rebuke the devourer. We need to understand. See, they didn't have authority over Satan. We do. We're the church. When Jesus was raised from the dead, He took everything Satan got. Hallelujah. He became a victor over it. And through faith, you and I received Jesus Christ. We have His victory. It's just as if you went down to hell and whooped the devil. You went down there, paid for every bit of your sin in Christ Jesus. Let's understand this. I hate this thing when people question, well, God looks at us through the blood. No, He doesn't. He don't look at you through the blood. He looks at you just like Jesus Christ. He looks at you when you receive Jesus, God accredited to your account is just as if you died on that cross, just as if you went into hell, paid the penalty of your sin, and just you were raised from the dead. And nowhere, well, He can't, He has to look at me through the blood because I'm such an ugly old thing, He just can't look on me. He can sure look on this boy. He told me to come boldly to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. He didn't tell Ed Gibson, go hide out somewhere. I can only look at you through the blood. I look at Jesus, and that's the only reason you're scumbag. I'm sorry, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. Last time I read in the book. Hallelujah. And that's what you got to get yourself over, is to realize you're sitting in a greater position. Just think about if the tithe would have done such for those folks in our, now we have our covenant. Dear God in heaven. Hallelujah. But see, the church world, I'm so glad because I don't have to wait. The devil shows up, you tell you, listen here, boy, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. You ain't messing with me and my stuff. Get out. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him concerning finances. He said, you tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. See, people are praying and asking God about do something about the money. He ain't gonna. It's in our authority. You tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. Hallelujah. You got money out there that belongs to you, and God wants to get it to you. He wants to help you, but you're going to have to walk in the light of the Word of God and do what the Word of God says. God's plan was to bless them, to do wonderful things for them. But I want you to see something, because then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and took me to these scriptures in the 2 Corinthians. I put them in the bulletin, because I want you to see this, because He told me and He spoke to me. He said, this will move you into a supernatural area. He said this to me. He said, the tithe is about what I commanded. He said, but Apostle Paul gave a revelation of the church, and this is about how far you want to go. The tithe will bring you to a certain place of blessing, but the Lord said to me to this, how far you go in blessing is going to be determined by you. You decide this. He said, I don't decide this. You do. He said, you decide this. This is an area of giving. He said, this is not the place that is commanded of you. He said, this place here, he said, in this, tells you this is totally up to you, whatever you want to do. But understand this. When we read what Paul says, the blessing that comes with this, because this blessing really is tied to us from the standpoint of our whole spirit, soul, and body. And it has to do with ordinary giving. Now, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, understand this. It's talking about money. A lot of church world don't like to hear that term, money. Oh, God will bless you with spiritual things. Well, this is talking about money. That's what it's talking about. And it's talking about getting blessed with money. It didn't say some spiritual thing. This is about what money, in other words, dealing in the areas of money, it can, what a blessing it can become in your life and a blessing to others. Money is no more than a tool in a toolbox. You know, you give a carpenter and you go out there and you have a carpenter, you know, you take his hammer from him or his nail gun, he ain't going to be doing nothing. Yes, there are tools that are needed. Money is a needed tool. Hallelujah. Did you get up this morning and maybe get something to eat, you know, either out of the cabinet or out of the refrigerator? Wasn't it nice to have something in there? You know, did you open the door? Were you like the, you know, the lady with the prophet and the meal just never runs out? Is that what happened? No. You needed money to buy things. Thank God. Hallelujah. You know what? Some people say, I want to get over the word dividing the fish and that stuff. I'll tell you, I'd rather get the place to bleed God and we'll just bite. Hallelujah. I like miracles, but I'll tell you what, many times the miracles took place is God did it through His grace and mercy and not because of people's faith. I want to come place, I want to know how to believe God. Because you know, so you know, we don't divide fish and they get one good meal. Man, we can help them get a couple of them. You know, dear God, hallelujah. We want to bless them. Well, the Apostle Paul was talking to them because Paul had talked about, if you read the whole thing, you'll find out that Paul had spoken to these people about the fact of an offering. What had taken place down in Jerusalem? Now, he's talking to these folks up in Corinth. He wrote them a letter. In Corinth, you know, they were doing good up there, but down in Jerusalem, Jerusalem had had a great drought down there. And they were having a lot of problems in Jerusalem. What they were doing, now understand, these offerings were not for everybody in Jerusalem. This is an offering to the church. You know, there's one thing as the church has done. The church has taken a lot of things that belong to the church and gave it to the world. Oh yeah, a lot of money goes to the world while people in the church are trying to get by. You know, the first church in the beginning, you know, they were helped each other, so everybody's needs were supplied. Today, we're trying to supply the needs of the world, and heck, who cares about the people in the pew? What we're doing out here is trying to be the welfare system to the world. They're all going to come to Jesus because we're feeding them. No, they found this out. They'll feed us and we can still live like hell. We don't even have to have Jesus anymore. We don't even need Jesus. Good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. See, we need to get back up because why? You can get on a ditch at either side. We want to be benevolent. We want to do those kinds of things. But the whole thing, we need to come back to the center of the road. The church is always getting on ditches. They're always out in a ditch somewhere. Need to come back to the center of the road again where things are right. Now here he tells them, this is about this offering. This is going down to help God's people down there. This is aiding their brothers. Now in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Now this is what Paul says, but Paul said this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Actually that word bountifully there, that is word really that's kind of translated blessing. In other words, you're going to get blessed. This is not speaking, Paul's not speaking as of a command to give. He is just telling people because we'll look at what he says and goes on to tell them. This is not dealing. So the Lord said to me this, there's a difference between the giving of the tithe and he said this kind of giving. He said this kind of giving will take you further than anything. But see, you can't turn around and rob God and say, well look, I'm just going to do it over here this way. Can't rob God. But this here is the place, really, of the supernatural abundance. This is the place of the supernatural. This is the place that we want to go. This is the place I want to go. This is the place I want to step into. I want to get into this place because this giving over here, he can't be talking about the tithe because this isn't about giving the tithe. This is about sending an offering down to help your brothers down there in Jerusalem. This has nothing to do with the tithe. See, we find out through the Bible, we'll find out that there's other people who did these areas of giving and the blessing they got by going beyond. What they did beyond and the blessing it brought to them. He said this, he said, so let each one give what? As he purposes in his heart. In other words, this just comes a thing. I found this out. See, this is why we want to grow and develop into the Lord. This is why we want to grow and where we take on really the heart of God. Because this is what is about your heart and what you decide to do from your heart. If you don't develop your heart in the areas of giving, your heart's your own heart. Well, grab the wallet and hold on to it. You know, or stuff you got, things you got. Grab a hold of it. Your heart will. He said, this is about what you purpose in your heart. See, tithing isn't about what you purpose in your heart. See, I've never heard this talked about this way before. I've never heard anybody talk about it. He said, tithing has nothing. He said, tithing isn't what you purpose. It's what I told you to do. He said, now over here in this, he said, this is a big thing. He said, this is all about you. What do you want to do? How far do you want to go in the blessing? How far do you want to go? How far do you want to step out there? And I thought, man, I don't know about you. See, I'm one of those crazy Christians. I believe in reward. And I do things for reward. See, I don't want nothing from God. I sure do everything He got. While I'm living here, I want to get my hands on some stuff. I don't know about you. Oh, I just don't want none of this world's goods. These world's goods, God, it says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. This ain't the world's goods. It belonged to the church. The devil's been holding on to it, and the church was saying, devil, why don't you keep it? Talking their nonsense. Talking their stupidity. I don't want none of the world's goods. It ain't their goods. It belongs to the church. It's God's goods. And we need to tell devil, get your hands off of my stuff. It belongs to the church. You steal it from me, you steal it from God. I'm a giver to God. You steal from me, you're stealing from God. I ain't going to allow that. Don't talk that nonsense. Don't talk that craziness. Some preacher starts talking that stuff, don't give him another offering. See how he likes it. Help him get poor. You want none of the world's good? Well, God didn't print the money that's in my wallet. And I doubt if there was many Christians involved in any of it. So you don't want it, we ain't giving you none. See, that's total nonsense. We live in a crazy world. God wants you to prosper. You're living in a world. Stuff here belongs to God. God told Kenneth Hagin, what you need's right down here on the earth. He said, it ain't up here in heaven. He said, I don't counterfeit money. He said, I'm not a counterfeiter. He said, everything you need's right down there. And he said, you tell the devil to get his hands off your stuff. You need stuff. There's stuff that you need. And you need enough stuff that you can take care of what you need. We know this. You're supposed to have good clothing, good food. Jesus said so. Your Father knows you need. He said, you need it. Well, it's in the world. I mean, there are sinners out here growing food that we buy, don't we? Well, I don't want none of their goods. Well, then quit eating. Croak and go to heaven. Leave us alone. See, there's a nonsense. There's a craziness in thinking. We must change this thinking. Because out here, the world, in this world, we're down here, here's where the stuff is that we need. This is the stuff that we need is down here. There's things that you need. There's things you need for whether it is travel. If we're going to do ministry, it's one thing, you're going to need money for ministry. I don't care, you ain't getting away from it. Try to travel without it. I mean, dear Lord, I've done enough last year. I mean, I spent a lot of money on travel. Doing, going places God told me to go. I know there's a lot of money in ministry because I've put a lot in it. I put a lot of money in the thing, so I know there's a lot involved in it. And all these people that want something for nothing, they're always, always trying to get something free. Give me this free. If somebody wants something free, I don't give them nothing. Notice people don't ask, I'll give them. Say, don't ask for it for nothing, I'll give it to them. But I'll tell you what, I'm tired of these people always want something for nothing. Because they ain't going to go nowhere. They're not going to go anywhere. If the things of God don't mean enough to us to put our finances in it, then we're not going to end up with the blessing of it. It's not going to happen. It happens because we're willing to sow into it. I'm willing to pay what it is to get what I need to get. Hallelujah. I'm willing to put money out. We'll just believe God. If God can't give me the money to get to the things and do the things that I need, then I ain't going to do it. That's His problem. It ain't mine. If He's going to be the one opposing me, how stupid would that be? God's plan is here. In other words, this plan was laid out. Then the Lord said to me, how far, and He said, ask people this, how far they want to go. He said, this is about we determine. This is not God commanding or demanding anything. In fact, we see the heart of God is about it. Listen to what He said. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now listen to this. Each one, you purpose in your heart. But now He tells you, don't do this, these two things. Don't do these in your heart concerning giving. Why? It'll stop it from working. It won't work. He said, not grudgingly. In other words, if you're going to step into this place, you can't be a grudge giver. In other words, I see people grudge give me. People tithe. Well, they don't really want to, but they do it. They're grudge givers. Well, you can't grudge give your tithe. It's like giving the IRS. They don't care how mad you're about it, they're going to take it. They don't even care less. God commanded the tithe. But when you get over into this area, if you grudge giving it, you just defeated the whole purpose of doing it. He said, you got a purpose in your heart. In other words, your heart is in doing this. See, this is one of the things you can give with joy, because if your heart's in it, if you can't give with joy, I know this, heart's not in it. You know what? Anything that my heart gets into doing, I don't have a problem. It's what my heart ain't into. Sometimes we got to get our heart into something. This is one thing that you have to learn. See, many people, the first thing they do is when you talk about the areas of finances and giving, the first thing that people look at is well, what do I have? Look, I don't have this and I don't have that. The first thing they do is look at the wrong stuff. They look at the seen realm. They don't realize what changes. You change the heart. When your heart changes, you don't look at things the same way anymore. I look at things now Well, if I don't have this, then I knew it. We'll believe God for that. I don't look at what I don't have. I look at, well, what do I need to get? Hallelujah. I need to get, well, we're just going to believe God for that, aren't we? We're going to have to get a hold of that one. You see, the people that look at what they have, they're people who will never go into this place. This place isn't looking at what you have. This is starting to look into what God's going to do. This is the place that I go, okay, what's wrong? If I'm having a problem, then I need to change the way my heart is. Well, how does my heart look at this thing? See, I got to get over and start to change. I need to meditate on the right thing, not meditate on my bank account, not meditate on other things that are going. Get my meditations off that. We have to grow into this thing. You don't just step into it. You got to grow into it. You got to develop your heart. You got to develop a giving heart. It won't just develop itself. Your flesh will keep telling you what you can't do. That's why my wife and, you know, Wanda and I talk every year, you know, we just set ourselves to give more money. We just set ourselves to give higher and give higher every year. And I tell you, I set myself a goal. I tell you, my goal, if Jesus tarries, I want to come to the place where I give 90% of my money away. I give 90% and my 10% is going to be so big I'm going to live good. I want you to understand, but I set a goal. See, when I look down there and I look at my bank account don't look at all like you could live anything off another, but I don't care. Every time, I mean, we want money or money to give, we give money away. You know, I guarantee you, people would say we're foolish, but let me alone. Money always ends up coming to us. God always takes care of us. And it's just operating over in that area. You know, my heart, I feel my heart to move in an area given. We just go do it. I've got over the things where I allow God to speak to me. You know, God has access to my money. In fact, lately it seems He's had more access than I have. But that's all right now. But I know how He works. I know this thing He set up. And it's not so He can take from me. It's so He can give to me. He wants me to come to a higher level. If I want to reach that 90% mark, I cannot be doing what I am doing now. I must change that. In other words, I have to change. What does have to change? I have to change more and more in my heart. My heart has to get over where it so dominates my flesh. When my flesh gets, you know, don't like to see too many zeros are getting on that check. I mean, let's knock a few of them back. You know, your flesh will do that. I don't care. You know, your flesh is going to do that. But you've got to learn to operate out of your heart. He says here, don't give grudgingly, but he says, or of necessity, or you're being forced to do it. Do you know why many Christians haven't been blessed? Is because of this principle. They'll sit and let a minister hound to them till they feel guilty and give. And they wonder why. And these ministers, oh, God said you'll get blessed if you do this. Not by them hounding you. You just turned it off. Because if that operation is over in this area, you gave it because you felt guilty. I just want to tell you this. It ain't working. See, God don't want you to tithe. The Christian should never tithe out of guilt. I always like what Kenneth Hagin said. Kenneth Hagin says, doesn't say any place in the New Testament, if you don't tithe, God wouldn't do anything for you. He said, don't say no such thing. See, God ain't out after us at all. What we do and all we do should be out of love and a great desire. See, if the Word says to do it, I want to be the guy up front doing it. I want to go get in there and get involved in it. I want to start doing this thing. Why? Because there's blessing involved in it. It's like you said, I'm into the reward thing. Well, are you in this for the reward? You bet you. How many of you have told Jesus, no, you don't have to think, I accepted you and I'll just go to hell anyhow. No, you accepted it for the reward. So don't play these religious stupid games. No preacher's ever going to make me feel guilty about going after reward because they liars. That's exactly what they go after because they keep passing those offering plates because they want a check next week. And they're lying to you. We don't do this for reward, you liar. I do. God told me to. The Bible says I'm supposed to live from the gospel. I expect the check. Dear God, the Bible said so. But see, people get religious. And religion will keep you poor. The church has not prospered like God. If anything, in fact, Randy Greer said this. The Lord spoke to him and told him that the main area where the church has lived way under God's will, he said, is the area of money. He said the church should be much more prosperous than what it is. He wants his people much. He said that's one of the areas that's been the greatest failing. The areas of prosperity. And we look at that. That's, in other words, this is God's plan for us. God's plan is for you to prosper. So you can follow the desires of your heart. Because we look at this thing. This is about the heart of a person. So we don't give unless, why? He said, for this purpose. God wants you to be a cheerful giver. See, God wants your heart in this thing. If your heart ain't in it, don't bother. If your heart ain't in it, because it's not doing it. In other words, God wants your heart. He wants you to be so happy about what you're doing. He said, you purpose in your heart. Don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it out of necessity. God wants you to be a cheerful giver. You decide. You decide. But see, understand, you have to decide from the level of faith where you're at. You can't do it from somebody else's. These ministers all the time, well, if you'll give $1,000 in this offering, we'll do this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you what, if I walk in the light that I have, I can do better than that minister does. I've learned it a long time ago. They have to beg and keep coming up with gimmicks to get people to give, you know. My word, send your offering in and we'll do a special prayer for healing. I'm sorry, I've already seen it in the Bible. I do that for myself. I don't need to send you money to get that. That ain't nothing but a gimmick anyhow. I'm so tired of all this special stuff and special this and special that and special oil, and we prayed over this oil. The oil came from China in little packages. It was packed over there. They never saw the stuff. It never went into their hands. They have places that turn around, process their mail, and ship that stuff out. They don't get it in 55-gallon drums. I can take you to companies, and they process stuff for ministries, and the ministers never see it, never know. And they'll stand there and lie to you on television. We prayed over this special oil. The oil never healed nobody. It's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. They can pray over the oil all they want. Dear God, I want a little bit of faith. I'm more interested in the faith than the oil. Dear Lord. But see, people go for gimmicks. Church loves gimmicks, you know. Well, I'll tell you, we'll send you this special cross, and it's made out of this stone that we got down by the tomb down there. Well, I want you to know this, they don't even know if that's the actual tomb, so it don't matter. And I'm going to tell you, no tomb cross is going to do anything for you. It's that Jesus who was raised from the dead that was crucified on the cross. I'll tell you, believe on Him and you'll get something. Glory to God. But we got all these gimmicks and all this stuff is running out of here, and people don't realize. It's what happens? The ministry stopped in the church. The gimmicks are running in the church. All this junk is going on in the church. And true worship and true ministry stopped. And they're telling you they're doing all this for ministry. No, they're not. This is all gimmickry. Trying to get into your wallet. God wants into your heart. God wants you to have a heart for you. He wants you to develop a heart. Listen to what He says. This is what God says. Now look, if I give this and I purpose, what you're able to do. In other words, you go to the place where you can stand and you can give. The place that you can do it in your heart. Not the place that God tells you you're supposed to do it. You go to the place in your heart. You know, if you give in this offering, God said He'd give everybody back 100-fold. I'm sorry, not everybody there can believe back 100-fold. I'm going to tell you what, if I had this to do, if I was the government, I'd pass a law when a minister says that he's responsible to make sure everybody gets 100-fold back. He said God was going to do it. If it don't show up, He's responsible to give everybody 100 times back. Why? Because everybody sitting in that audience can't believe. There's some people, my God, they could hardly believe to get $2 back. That's where they are spiritually. You know what you do to them? When this guy says 100-fold back, he just condemned them to a place to say, my God, God don't do nothing for me. What's wrong with me? What's the matter with me? I am so sick of these preachers doing this junk. God's not out slamming you in the head. He's trying to get you to raise up. If you can only believe to do it for $1, well then you start there. Let God bless you and bring you to something higher. But you don't give according to that man's heart. First, I want to see his giving before he tells me about mine. You would not believe how many ministers and TV ministers don't even tithe. They sure know how to take the money. You'll believe how many of them ain't givers. It would startle you. Now there are ones out there that are good and they're givers. But there's ones who ain't. They're takers. And if you know the spirit of things, you know it. I don't care what they say. You can say all the right things and be a hellion. God said, this is what He is. If you purpose in your heart, whatever you purpose in your heart to do, here's what He said. God's able to make all grace abound towards you. God is. I want you to think about this. Now He says, in this area of preparing your heart, because God, He didn't say God was going to make all grace abound to you. He says, God can. He can do this. In other words, to the measure that you'll step into, God, you know, whatever amount of grace you want, you can step out into it, to have it. See, I want to get to the grace where I can give 90% and live on 10%. Well, I ain't there yet, and I ain't got that much grace going to me right now because my faith ain't at that place yet. I'll tell you what, but I'm going there. I've set myself a goal. I have a place I have to reach to. I'm not there yet. But I know this, if I start to practice this, the more I get my heart into this thing about giving, I can reach into greater levels. I can reach into higher levels, and God will start ministering. This guy said, go ahead and do it. He said, God's able to make all grace abound toward you. What? That you always have all sufficiency in all things. He said, you have all sufficiency. He didn't say you just have enough to get by 2 bologna sandwiches a week, and then you just give everything else away. He said, no, that you would have all sufficiency in all things. That's God's plan. God's plan is you have no lack in nothing. How many of you, have you got there yet? I want to get there. See, I've learned the areas of divine healing. I know how to walk in divine health. But I've never got there in this. I want to get there in this. I want to arrive to this place. I want to rise to the place of all sufficiency in all things. I want to come to that place where I'm not governed at all by what the bank account says or whatever. I'm not governed, or that's not even a thought. That I can walk in a place where all I see is the grace of God. All I see is God's ability. All I see is the place that, by God, whatever it is needs to be, we're going to be able to do it. We're going to go there. I don't know about you. I'd like to arrive to there. Hallelujah. I want to go to that place. He said, you have all sufficiency in all things. And so what? Then, because you're all sufficiency in everything, then you may have an abundance. Now, let's see. This is what you're supposed to have, an abundance for every good work. He didn't say so you could just give something to every good work. He said, every one of your needs is met. You got more than, so much more. You have an abundance now to give. See, after you're 90%, that'd be abundance, wouldn't it? I would, and what? I could still be all sufficiency, and I'd have all sufficiency in all things. Hallelujah. Oh my God. See, I know this seems like reading, space, a comic book something or other, or we're looking at science fiction here. This is Bible. I don't care what preachers say. Now it is, it's not about love of money. This happens to us by loving God. God, I don't want my heart over in the area, because this is one thing. If you don't develop in your heart over in the area of giving, you'll develop your heart in the area of taking. So we have all sufficiency, may have an abundance. Then he says, as it is written, what he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His righteousness endures forever. Now think about that. The righteousness he's talking about. Paul used a scripture here talking about this person. You enter into this place where you step into this type of giving. You step in this place where you follow your heart. This is the place where you're following your heart. This is a place that develops you supernaturally, is what it does. It develops you supernaturally. See, this is why, as in the church world, preached tithe, and people came to that place, and they stopped there and expected I just tithe. And I heard ministers say this, you give God 10%, 90%'s yours. Well, what do you mean by that, 90%? 90% ain't mine. 90% ain't mine. I'm in this with God. It's about me and God. See, this is where it's at. If 90% I view it as mine, then is God allowed to view what he has as his? And okay, I just give you that little bit. The rest of it's mine. Don't belong to you. You can't have none of it either. See, there's all this wrong thinking out here. They think 90% isn't mine. I'm working together. We're supposed to be workers together with him. What I have and what he has is ours. Because see, if I'm just stuck with mine, I'm in trouble. See, this is the church world. The church world looks at God basically as Santa Claus. I do what I want to do with mine, and then, send me the reindeer with the packages, Ship them on over here. And the church world is looking at God doing it. That's not how it works. This is about a union between God and man. This is about a joint venture. Hallelujah. Because no one, you can't make this work without the grace of God. And he told us that all this grace can abound. We can have as much grace as we need in this thing. As much grace as you can eat. So I don't want to look at the thing and saying, hey, mine's mine and yours is mine. And people look at God in that way. That's not the way for it to... That is not the heart to have, is it? That's not the heart. But see, we hear these things said, and they said, well, go out here. And really, they didn't realize it. I don't believe these ministers did it intentionally, but they left people in a place where they could never step into going as far as God wants them to go. Because they told them, you just did, you know, the basics. It's like, you know what? You know, you don't have to go to college to be a brain surgeon. Just graduate from high school is enough. That's right. We'll just buy you a sharp hatchet. You can just, whatever. I mean, it's nonsense. Nothing in the world works like people come over to the church. I mean, it's total nonsense. The church really doesn't think very far. They don't think very far. We need to go to something higher, and this is about God being able to take you and me to something higher. That's why I said, you can't look in the natural. If you try to enter this thing looking at what you have, you'll fail. I gotta be able to look over at grace. I gotta be able to look at what he has over here. And mine's sitting over there. It's like, well, I got, if I look at what I got, I would say him and I are both in trouble. But we're looking at, okay, what I have. Where can I work with what I have if I hook with his grace? If I hook with that, and that's what it's about. Looking over what he has over there. He said, if I turn around and I would purpose concerning things that I have. I set a purpose in my heart what I'm doing. He said, that grace will work. I have grace over here will work abound towards you. It's going to do something really good for you. This grace that's over here on this side here that I got, this is for you. You know, God don't need grace. He gives it. He ain't saving it up for him. You know, grace is for us. And so he's telling us, if I go over here, this is what I got. And I start looking at what I got and say, okay, I want a purpose in what I can do with what I have. Okay, I'm going to start setting myself. God don't expect you to give everything away. You need to eat lunch. You need to pay bills. You need to do those things. Now use some sense. I mean, people just sometimes get money and just keep buying things and doing things and never have any left over for God. Sometimes you have to do, it's just like an investment, you know. You have to invest in the things of God. You got to invest in them. See, many people are trying to get things out of God and don't invest a thing into it. They're trying to get it out of them and it won't work. So he said to righteous, he says, now may, listen to this, now may he who supplies what? Seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase what? The fruits of your righteousness. Now understand it, the fruit, what is it? Fruits of righteousness. In other words, the right thing that you do, God's going to increase the fruit of it. In other words, if I set myself in this thing and I follow it according to Scripture and do this from my heart, don't do it grudgingly, I begin to set myself, God's grace begins to work toward me where He starts multiplying what I sowed. So that grace is bringing back to me. Now remember this, it's according to the measure I sow. I can't go out and sow a half an acre and expect to go out and get an acre in. It ain't going to happen. It's to the measure I sow. But understand this, whatever I purpose to do, God will cause grace to abound so I have fruit concerning that righteous act. See, the faith, sometimes the faith people, we are righteous by faith. That's fine. I can approach God because I'm righteous. By faith, I became righteous because God made me that way through faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I am the righteousness of God, as the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. I am righteous. I can approach God. I can approach God on the basis of righteousness. I'm allowed, in other words, I've been made right by Christ Jesus. But we need to understand this. Being righteous by faith don't take the place of doing right or living righteously. Our righteous living produces fruit. This here and this giving is about our walk or our life with God. It's about what we do, and if we learn to operate in this, it produces something. We have promise here concerning its producing, where the Old Testament, they talked about, you know, the blessing, I'll pour out a blessing on you, but understand, he said, bring the tithes in the storehouse, but he said, tithes and offerings. They could turn around and they could be blessed. Here we have the church. This thing is set, really is unlimited. I determine how far I want to go, not God. God said to me, he spoke to me this when I was there looking in the mirror and he's talking to me. He said, you are going to determine how far you want to go in this. And you tell people. They will determine how far they want to go. He said, I have no limits set on this. He said, each person decides how far. Well, now, I knew when he told me, I can't, you know, I have some good vision out there, but I can't quite go there now. I'm going to have to start where I can, or I can believe and operate out of my heart right here where I'm at and do something. But I want to develop beyond that. But this is the system for the development. This is the system. See, this is where we should have meditated on these things, on the system. Instead, people meditated on what they had, on what they were able to do. That's what people have meditated on. God wants us to meditate on His system, where we become so confident in His system that He's established, that you and I will start to move into that direction. And you're not going to jump to the top of it overnight. You know, you ain't going to turn around and go home and say, well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to take the house, car, and everything else. We're just going to sell everything, give it all away. You know, well, you could go do that. I've seen people do those kinds of things and end up, you know, walking, no house to live, and things like that. They think because I do the action. No, this is about a thing of the heart. You got to understand where you can walk by faith, where you can do it. There's times that God told, and there's times God told Wanda now, all the money that we had, He told us to give it away. All the money. We had more than one occasion where God did that, where God had us do that, more than one occasion. But He didn't tell us to do that when we couldn't believe for it. He told us to do it. I will tell you this. My flesh was not excited. But I will tell you this. See, I've learned to live out of my heart. My heart was. My heart wanted to do it. My heart. My flesh didn't. My flesh is, you knucklehead. You must be listening to the devil, boy. What's wrong with you? But every time it's proved itself out, we got blessed through the thing. Every time it's proved itself out. We have turned around and we've followed things. I mean, we have gone as far, as I told you before, we've gone as far where God told us to borrow money to give away. Now, number one, I've got to hear from heaven for that kind of stuff. I don't just go do that. But, see, those are areas and ways that God developed our heart. We started listening to things where God started developing our heart. He could speak to us. Why did He want to do? He wanted to take us, Wanda and I, to a higher level. My flesh was not comfortable with things. I mean, when He first talked to me about this borrowing money, I thought, isn't this stupid? This borrowing money and is to give to these ministries. Go give these two ministries. Go give them this money. Go borrow this money and give them to them. I'm thinking, dear Lord, you know, my words, here we are trying to get out of debt. But I want to tell you what, we did that and got out of debt. See, we had set and we worked at our debt. And then we got God in our debt. We started working off of what He had. Now see, His system sometimes don't seem to make any sense. Why? I need money, so this is the natural, I need money, so I try to collect as much as I can. That's the world, that's the way we think. It doesn't, you know, sometimes God may have you collect it for, God may have you collecting money for time. He may do that. But, It seems strange. You're over here trying to collect because why? You want to get things paid off. You want to get things done. Here God is telling you over, you need to go borrow money. I don't want more debt. I want to. So I mean, don't go do this because you heard me say it. See, I remember Rhema had the trouble there. Kenneth Copeland came and talked there and told how God told him to give away his car, and he gave away his car. So some of these knucklehead students went and gave their cars away. Thought they were going to get a new car, and they didn't. They walked. God didn't tell them to give their car away. They decided to do that. They want a better car. You better have the faith to do it. Doing the action without having the heart. Faith of the heart. I don't care. You can do the action. I see this all the time. People, I know people with tithe that never get blessed. Why? Because they will never do it by faith. They tithe out of guilt. They tithe out of, well, I got to do this. I don't ever feel that way. I got to tithe. I think it's an absolutely wonderful pleasure that God gave me the opportunity. He should have asked for more. I would I'm sure. I just feel about it. I feel about tithe. It is a pleasure to give. See, you cannot give out of even on here. Your faith won't work on grudge. It won't work on necessity. It won't work that way. Your faith won't work. Your heart works out of cheer. Joy is of the heart. That's where it works out of. See, people don't. I have no my words to tithe. It's like tithe. I mean, that's just what I would do. And giving offerings. That's just what we do. I mean, I never think about the fact of, man, I sure wish I wouldn't have to do this. It's like, dear Lord. If anything, I think, boy, I sure want to give more. I'd sure like to put some more out there. Do a little more. See, that's a drive, and I want that drive. I want to look at it and say, you know, I want to do more. You know, I have to think about Juana now. You know, I remember we started off, man, it was a biggie to, you know, a few bucks here, a few bucks there, and an extra giving. We were tithing, you know, I mean, things were tight for us. Just a few dollars here. And I remember going to meetings and stuff, and man, you just wanted to put more in. I mean, man, my wallet was screaming. There wasn't nothing in it anyhow. But you're putting in what you... But you know, we were so innocent. You know what? We were glad we could do it. I never left any of those meetings and, oh man, you know, wish I wouldn't have gave that money. Never. We gave that money. We were just glad. You know, and over the years, I mean, it came to the bit, you know, and then you turn around and now, you know, you give $1,000, you give this, you could just do that. I mean, but that came to that place. It didn't start there. But you know what? We loved that giving only when we could just do a little bit. We loved it. We were absolutely glad to do it. We were absolutely glad. You know, when Wanda and the story we told the one time with Kenneth Hagin Ministries, we gave $1,000 to that a guy, you know, and I told you guys a story about, you know, the TV thing. God, you know, told me about giving a TV, and a guy came along, he was going to buy us a TV. God said that he was going to give us a TV, and the guy came along, and his TV wanted to spend $1,000 on it. And I had said to the Lord about the fact, I said, $1,000, dear Lord. At that time, you know, I'm talking back, we're in the early 80s. I mean, $1,000 to Wanda and I back then was big money. That was big, big money. I mean, $1,000. I mean, we needed $1,000 was a lot of bucks. And I just said to the Lord, you know, I said, Lord, I don't need no $1,000 television. I said, I just had no desire to have $1,000 television. And the Lord spoke to me about, well, he said, you do whatever you want with it. You do whatever. I said, Lord, do you know anybody that wants a television? I said, we have a television. It's a good one. It's working fine. I said, if you have somebody you want me to give this to, we'll give this TV away. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, well, why don't you take the money instead of the television? I said, Lord, I ain't going to tell nobody. You know, I said, you know, if you tell him if you want to change this thing, I'm not saying anything. And I'm literally, it wasn't even a half an hour later, the guy walked up to me and said, you know, if you don't want the TV, you just have the money. And, you know, that money, but having a heart and a desire to give, and I want you to see the payoff, and this is the whole thing, it's the payoff. See, when we look at our need at the time, and this is why, is you want to develop your heart with God. Because I said to the Lord, Lord, do you want me to give this money to somebody else? I said, what, you know, because this whole thing came out of something strange. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm giving this to you. He said, you do whatever you want with it. You decide what you want to do with it. It's yours. You decide. Well, I said, Lord, is there somebody you want me to give it to? He said, no. He said, who would, he said, if you wanted to give it away, he said, well, who would you like to give it to? Who would you like to give it to? See, God's dealing with my heart. He's not, see, this isn't about tithing. This is about taking me to a place of something bigger. That's what this was. That's what that whole thing was about, him taking me to a bigger place. He said, who would you like to give to? I said, I'd like to give to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Well, he said, you do whatever you want. He said, and this is what the Lord spoke to me and said. He said, if you want to keep that money, he said, you can very well keep it. I told you it was for you. I said, nah. And we gave that money away. Now that was probably about 5 years later. 5 years. I had forgotten all about that money. I end up, God tells me to go to Rhema. To school. My wife and I, we do all the things of packing. We had $500 in our checking account. That's all, in our savings account. That's all we had. $500. That was our savings. I'm going to be moving a family across the country. We're going to get $500. You know, you could have very well just flushed that down the toilet. I mean, from the standpoint of your need, it ain't going to do nothing. You ain't getting out of town. We could even rent a truck to haul our furniture for $500. Cost $1,000 at that time just for the truck to haul our furniture. That wasn't even a gas to go there. But we know it. And so I said to the Lord, I've learned things over time, and I said, Lord, $500 said, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to give this to? I said, it ain't doing us no good. We ain't going nowhere in $500. I said, is there somebody who needs this money? So you got to know when it's time, there's things you need, it's time to sow. And so the Lord said, give it to the church to put it in the building fund. I said, okay. So Maunda and I took that money and put it in the building fund. We put it in the building fund. Well, we told you folks, the money came in to us. Before we left, we lived in a very nice apartment out there, a 3-bedroom apartment and that stuff. We decided we were going out there. We said, Lord, if you're sending us out there, we want our girls to have a place where they had their separate rooms and that stuff, you know. We said, we might as well go good if we're going to go. So we got it was a brand new apartment complex. We got a nice 3-bedroom apartment. It was a real nice place. So the rent was paid for that. You know, we had a couple months of that paid for. The truck, somebody came along and said, you guys need money to move here. What is it going to cost? They said, we'll pay for the truck. They paid for the truck. Anyhow, when we left and everything, we had like a $5,000 on us and had the truck paid for, the gas was paid for and everything. And we're moving. I mean, God bought it together. But see, all those things started, but that thing didn't quit. Now, so we're talking about this grace abounding and we're talking about this giving thing. I'm in my last year at Raymond. I'm getting ready to leave. We're going to have graduation coming up. We're coming into our final classes. We're going through our final exams and stuff in our second year. And I'm walking from SDC1 down to the auditorium. I'm walking down through. And I just said to God, I said, I've been out here in this place and I've been so blessed. I said, man, you financially, we didn't think we wanted. I mean, just money came to us, just all this. I said, man, he said, you know why you're blessed here? Well, I would like to thought it's because I'm so popular or something. No, he said, you're blessed here. He said, do you remember that $1,000 and that television? I had forgotten all about that. He said, that $1,000 took care of this. He said, because you planted that $1,000, you got this. That was like all grace abounded, wasn't it? I could have kept that $1,000, but I wouldn't have had. See, and this is why many times we don't follow our own heart. See, my own heart wanted to do something. I could have let my flesh talk me out of that. I could have. And I often thought of it, God, thank you. Thank you for, you know, let me stay over in that area. Because that $1,000 produced tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars for us. All my school was paid for the whole time I was there. I got to take an entire summer off to be with my kids. Never had that before in my life. Never such a thing. I always worked all the time. God did all of that. He told me, I want you to take this. The last summer we were there, He said, I want you to take a summer off and spend it with your kids. Because before that, I was working 45 hours a week plus going to school full time. I tell you, busy. I had a 4.0 average. I mean, God was good. But all that was over $1,000. That wasn't tied. That was this thing here of going into that place where you step beyond. And see, God's not in the taking. Sometimes, see, it didn't look like it was going to happen. Like, I thought long time in between there, man, we could have used some money. But there was something that we put out there and there was a time that was coming and that stuff came in during that time. And what a blessing. And that's why I want to encourage you in this, is learning to step out. You do with what you have, not with what you don't have. Look at what you have. Look at where you don't matter about somebody else or something. God will bless your life. The woman came with 2 copper pennies. Jesus said she gave more than anybody. See, God goes off of percentages. See, you need to understand it. I don't care if a guy got $1 billion. I don't care if he has 50 million. 50 million and he goes and gives $1 million away. Ain't no biggie. Some guy out there had $100, gave $20 away, did more than he did. You got to get over and right thinking. You got to see, when you examine yourself of looking what you have, and this is what God doesn't want you to do. God wants you to come over to the area to look at His grace. This is what he got. This is what I can do, and I'm going to start where I am. Get over in the area. Stop the guilt giving. Stop the necessity giving. Start operating out of a heart of joy and cheer. I'm going to get in God's work. I don't care if I only got a penny to put in it. I'm going to put the penny in it. I don't care if I have, because God will make grace abound to me. God's going to take me to a higher level. He's going to take me to a place where maybe next week I could put $1 in instead of the penny. You know, but I'm going to set myself and set yourself. You know, don't, you've heard it said all the time. Don't be, you know, ashamed of small beginnings. You know, I mean, Apple didn't start off, you know, at a $10 billion a year industry, did it? No. And see, this is Christians. They get over into things and we're investing. This is a life. This is your life you're investing in. This is your life. And God wants you to put investment into His kingdom because there's things He wants to produce from His kingdom to bring to you, to bless you, that you don't have to sit down and see what the government can give you when retirement day comes. To see how you could be limited with their good old health program. If you're tied to that, that's your thinking, you're limited. There's more grace than there is insurance. There's more grace than there is in money and Social Security. And God can make it abound to you, hallelujah, that the money that you need is going to be there, hallelujah. And so you want to get into that thinking, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.